I am Twitter. I am on Twitter. I am Twitter.
From the Spec Network, this is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker.
And I'm Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show.
Okay, well, welcome to the show. Today we have someone quite special here, and it's actually a topic that I've been very interested to talk about, and we've actually had quite a few folks ask us about this. It's basically about cross-platform development, and I would like to welcome Joseph here.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah.
Joseph, can you give the listeners who may not be familiar with you or your background, kind of who you are, what you're working on, what you've worked on in the past, and so forth?
Yeah, sure. So, very brief background. I work for Microsoft now after having the company I helped co-found, Xamarin, acquired by Microsoft. We created Xamarin as a company focused on mobile development, cross-platform, of course. But I think the thing that was special for us was understanding that, yes, people needed to create cross-platform apps, but they needed to create native apps as well. And I think that turned out to be the thing that gave the company legs. But of course, my background before that is as a C# developer and a member of the open source community. And Xamarin itself was taking the open source Mono technology and enabling people to write C# applications.
So you used to do .NET, as we discussed prior in the show, and C# and so forth. And then you kind of mentioned cross-platform development with Xamarin. So there are a lot of folks here on the Fragmented podcast. Our audience is mainly Android engineers, highly focused directly into that. We do get a lot of questions about cross-platform development. There's a bunch of different tools out there, like Xamarin, like React Native. Some people use Cordova. Some people use who knows what nowadays, a bunch of different stuff. But for folks that aren't familiar with what Xamarin is, if you could, you know, if we're in an elevator together, what would you say Xamarin is to explain it to another engineer? Why? Maybe they want to use
absolutely.
It.
So first and foremost, Xamarin, culturally, we've always been focused on letting developers do with C# anything that developers could do with Objective-C, Swift on iOS, or with Java on Android. So the idea is, basically a 100% mapping of Android APIs to C#, and the ability to use things like native Android layout, XML, and Android resources and libraries even, but with a C# programming language. And of course, the benefits of that are obvious if you're a C# developer already, but even if you're not, having a language that is powerful, but also available on iOS, available on Windows, available on web servers, so that you can start sharing code. It's nice because you don't have to rewrite code, but also because you can avoid bugs by not writing a bug on one platform and then finding out months later you also have the same bug on a different code base on another platform.
So what you're saying is I can use C# to develop Android apps, and you also mentioned iOS. Does that mean I can just write the code once and I just compile it and then I just get two outputs and it's just one app, or do I have to code for each individual platform?
You can share code, but you're writing, at the end of the day, you're writing a native iOS app or you're writing a native Android app. Like historically speaking, like where we came from, how we got to be here is we started by putting C# on iOS.
Yeah.
Right? We wanted to enable developers that were asking us, Windows developers at the time, hey, I need to get to iOS, can you help me do it? And the temptation was there to just give them all of the APIs they had on Windows to make ugly Windows apps running on iOS. And we didn't want to do that. We want to let people make great iOS apps. So, so we first produced the iOS product and at first people would ask us about Android and we're like, well, it's Java. Java's, it's enough like C#, just use Java. Why do you want that? But that's when these forward thinking developers would say, well, it is about these advantages of using a single language, and Visual Studio is a great IDE, and I want to be able to leverage all these other benefits of this ecosystem. So it was sort of from that deciding point, that tipping point at the very beginning, that we said, oh, this is actually, it resonates with developers not being right once run anywhere, and to actually be, to be native first, but also with cross-platform capabilities.
So if we were to dig a little bit deeper into the weeds here, let's say that I wanted to develop an application, or this actually happens quite a bit, is a upper management hears about how great cross-platform development is because it's going to save a lot of money in the future. They have to kind of write it one language and so forth. If I wanted to do that with Xamarin, and I wanted to build in a iOS app and an Android app and have some, you know, share some code between them, what does that look like from a developer perspective? Do I have different projects in GitHub, or do I just have one big project where I have shared code, or what is that, you know, if we dig a little bit down into the details?
Right. So in Visual Studio, with their build system, you have the concept of a solution, right? And a solution has multiple projects in it. You have essentially the same, you know, that same model inside Android Studio, of course. But in the case of working with Xamarin, you would have a head project for each platform that you're targeting. So you'll have a project for your Android specific code and a project for your iOS specific code, and you'll have a shared project, like you said.
Okay.
So you can share libraries. You can write libraries to share. You can use other libraries that people have written that are cross platform. So you might end up with multiple projects of shared code within your solution. And we also have a library called Xamarin Forms, which is a toolkit that is an abstraction focused on some kinds of UI sharing. And so you could share some UI code as well. But typically, you know, you're going to have a project with code specific to each platform that you're going to target.
So I'd have like that shared, you mentioned the shared libraries or multiple shared projects inside of there. That's maybe where I'd keep like, you know, pertinent business logic that applies to across all projects. Is that correct?
Right. So the model ends up being, you know, you're thinking, oh, well, how much do I really share? Do I even need to share? I'm writing code. Let's say you're doing an app that's going to render some financial calculations, right? So you actually have some logic to create amortization tables, and you're going to render those on the phone. And if you did that on the web, you would just do it all on the web, right? But you wouldn't want to just run those calculations on the device. You can't trust those calculations ran on the device, right? You're actually going to want to run those calculations locally on the device so that the user can quickly see, you know, have a responsive experience of code actually running on the device and see, you know, what the models are going to look like or what the final costs are going to be. And you're going to run that same business logic on the server.
Okay.
Right. Because you're going to trust the models that ran on your server, or maybe they'll be more complex, or they'll feed into other processes over there. So yeah, so there's that kinds of business logic sharing that's server to cloud. And then there's also code sharing when you have ideas like authentication. Like, you know, maybe you have 10 apps, or you have an app on iOS and Android, but they're always running against the same user password login system, granting authorization.
Same API.
Right. So, you know, so you have that kind of logic in a library that ends up getting used across apps. Or if you're in a large organization, you know, maybe other parts of the orgs are using those same components in their apps as well.
So to kind of bring a full circle, we kind of, at the bottom, we have this, we'll just kind of keep it simple. We have one shared library, and maybe that's where we have all of our authentication logic and where we're going to build those amortization tables and any other financial things that we're mainly going to work on. And then on top of that, we have the, you know, Xamarin for Android and Xamarin for iOS and so forth that sit on top of that talk to those same shared libraries, so that as a developer, I kind of have to write that code once, I unit test it, whatever, it's good to go. Now I know that it works, and it's going to work the same on both platforms because both the same platforms talk to that same shared library, right?
Right. And importantly, if you find a problem with your model and you go and you change it and you fix it, you know that you fixed it on both platforms. And if you're working in a single solution and you change an API on your shared code, you have feedback right away in your iOS and your Android project that those guys are still building. You didn't really break anything that both apps are depending on.
Mm-hmm. Now, all this, I think, just to make sure we're clear with the listeners, is all of this is written in C#, right? Like top to bottom, Xamarin is all C#.
Yeah. So when I talk about like Android specific code, we expose all of the Android APIs as C# code.
Okay.
So you have an Android specific project in your solution. You're writing all that code in C#. Now, the exception is that you're also using Android XML for layout,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So if you had other tools or you were using other tools out there for processing Android layouts,
yep.
you would have access to all those same things. But we're not asking you to write Java code. You can. You can bind Java code. You mm-hmm. can bind, on the iOS side, you can bind Objective-C code, you can bind C code. Like, all of that stuff is available to you, but we're giving you the ability to just write C sharp.
Okay. So that's, I mean, you bring up a very good point there, because in Java, and actually in all languages now, we have a very big open source, you know, community with tons of platforms and libraries available to us, especially in Android. Every project, if we look at our build.gradle file, has a ton of dependencies that we're pulling in from logging libraries, API libraries, everything. If I want to continue using those libraries I'm already kind of familiar with because they do a great job, can I continue to use those libraries?
Yeah, absolutely, you can. Now, they don't become inherently cross-platform when you do that. Mm-hmm. It's not like you opt into Android. You opt into Xamarin, and now your Android jar files are able to be used in your Xamarin iOS app. But by all means, yeah, you can use any of the Android libraries you were using before.
Okay.
Occasionally customers will opt, if it's an open source library, to port from Java to C sharp, because that's fairly straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, so it is that, you know, that's also an option too, and maybe that would give you the ability to make that code more portable to iOS. You know, moving it, but you don't have to. And in fact, even some of our customers that maybe have decided that they're going to move to Xamarin for whatever reasons, but they have an app written in Java, mm-hmm. they might just take a big chunk of that app and compile that as a jar and just keep it as is and just start building new code in C sharp, you know, tomorrow, and not necessarily mess with the working Java code they already have.
Which is important, because a lot of teams that I work with on a day-to-day basis will build a lot of Android custom views that do a specific thing in Android that we don't really want on iOS, or it's not even iOS specific. We want, you know, floating action buttons and material design things that we've built custom. So it sounds like I can actually definitely pull those in and just use that in the Android version
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, and like I said, it's sort of a gradient. You can pull those in and make them as Xamarin specific as you want,
mm-hmm.
or just, you know, bring them in and leave them as is.
Yeah, because I think what a lot of people, when they hear about Xamarin, are afraid of leaving everything that they know to kind of bring over and to hop over to something like Xamarin, because, well, I know all these libraries and now I'm going to hop over here and I can't use them. But knowing that you can still use those libraries, I think is a big win.
Yeah, you can both use those libraries, or you can, I mean, and this has historically been in the case of .NET and Java, constantly you can find, you know, the same libraries or forks of the
yes.
same libraries and ports of the same libraries. But at the same time, yeah, just being able to make it easy to consume libraries as is always been a top tenet for us. So yeah, it's really, you know, you might start with one approach and switch to the other too. So it's very easy to ease yourself into it.
Now, you guys have, you're basically writing C sharp, and you're able to talk to all the, I don't know if you want to call them bindings or whatever they are, the Android bindings and iOS bindings, but let's say I'm building the Android app. How is that bridge made from writing C sharp to actually getting a native Android application? What happens, and how is that maintained?
Right. So at the end of the day, Xamarin uses a runtime okay. that is, you know, it's the mono runtime at the core of it, that turns, we compile C sharp to an intermediate language
okay.
like bytecode. Java yeah. compiles to Java bytecode and C sharp compiles to IL. And on the end, in the case of Android, that IL is turned to ARM executable.
What is IL for folks that may not, they're coming from the Java world?
Right. That's the intermediate language. So it's very much like bytecode, but, you know, C sharp compiles to that.
Okay.
F sharp compiles to that. But it's the job of the on iOS, on Android, the JIT to just in time turn that intermediate representation to actual native ARM executable.
So it's truly native. It's not like I'm running a web view inside of my.
Correct. Right. Yeah. And then when we talk about these bindings, what we're really saying is we're talking about JNI with that. So it's, you know, it's a bridge. And the .NET code is running, you know, beside the Java code. We have cooperative GC garbage collector to make sure that, you know, when you dispose of an object on the Java side, it goes away on the .NET side and vice versa.
Is there any performance implications of doing that?
That was what I was about to say. There is a performance implication of speaking across the bridge.
Yeah.
Right. So if you were in a tight loop, you know, creating an Android button. Mm-hmm. And like if you wanted to make a list and you were going to do it in a really odd way, you might stack a bunch of buttons up and you're creating all of them. So there's an additional cost of doing that. But on the flip side, we have a very high performance JIT. So when in the case of writing, like just comparing strict C sharp that's not speaking across the bridge to strict Java, we perform at least as well. I don't have specific benchmarks in front of me, but there's even places where there are certain pieces of C sharp code that would actually perform better on that side. Typically, I just wouldn't really consider that you have a performance cost for choosing to use C sharp. It really comes to light when you're doing something the wrong way, like I just described, where you're just doing a lot of crosstalking from C sharp to Java that you probably shouldn't be, and you just would just take a different approach.
Does the same thing happen for iOS? Is the same type of thing the JIT and so forth, or what?
No, so it's not JITed. Apple doesn't allow that. So when we talk about JIT, we're talking about just-in-time conversion of this intermediate representation to the ARM executable code, and that can happen on Android. That's perfectly allowed.
Yep.
And basically, you generate some code you're going to execute, and then you make it executable, and you run that code. And on iOS, that's not allowed as a security restriction. When you start writing to memory, you're not able to make that memory executable, which means you can't have a JIT on the device, because you could certainly generate all the code, but iOS is never going to let you execute that ARM code once you've generated it. So we have ahead of time compilation on iOS, and RAOT uses LLVM, which is an optimizing compiler. It is the same backend for Objective-C and Swift. So at the end of the day, we're generating the same ARM code that you would generate from Objective-C or Swift, but it's all generated ahead of time on your Mac before it's compiled into your app that you ship.
Now, if I'm writing, let's go back to just kind of really hopping into the weeds here. I'm writing an app. I'm in there. I said, you know what? I need to put a text box on this Android form, and then I need to get a reference from it. And so in Android, we normally do things like find view by ID, and we get a reference to that, and we can kind of work with it. If I'm doing this in Xamarin, am I working with a .NET text box, or am I working with the Xamarin representation of an Android text box?
You are working with, you're going to be speaking directly to the Android text box.
So it'd be like a text view or whatever, an edit text or something like that.
Yeah, and you do exactly what you said. It's find by ID. It's the exact same thing. You have the same resources file that, that gives you the same handles, the same IDs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that model would pretty much be instantly familiar to any Android developer because it's the same. And going back to what I said earlier with Android XML layout, that's going to be the same.
So we still write our layouts in XML then?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So it's, and from my personal experience being a previous C sharp developer, I know from experience that making the change from C sharp to Java and vice versa is actually quite easy because the languages are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I actually prefer C sharp, which might come to shock to a lot of the listeners right now, but I actually prefer the language. I think it's a beautiful language. I know Kaushik, which is a co-host, he also loves C sharp and feels it's a very beautiful language. So that's one thing that I definitely miss about working inside of Java for the last almost 8 years is having access to that beautiful language, C sharp. And Xamarin gives you that ability, it seems like.
Yeah. So, if you look at C sharp, earlier versions of C sharp, which is probably when a lot of Java developers who've been around for a while doing Java, looked at C sharp and kind of made their decisions and their assumptions about what the languages were going to be like. They look very similar, but actually C sharp has evolved quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
Java has even evolved to pick up some of the idioms from C sharp. And C sharp continues to evolve. So they bring in nice features like async.
And, yeah. That's a beautiful one.
So I'm biased towards C sharp and people are, but at the same time, there is a common heritage. They're clearly inspired by the same C type constructs with semicolons and curly braces. But typically people give it an objective look and, first off, it's something you can get comfortable with very, very quickly and moving the other direction is fine as well, though you're going to miss those features that you got used to on the C sharp side.
Yeah, when I came over to Java, the first thing I looked for was I had a I think it was an array list of something, and I went to go use a Lambda expression, and it just wasn't there.
Right.
And that was, and I found myself writing so many verbose for loops and so forth. So I can definitely relate. But let's take this in a little bit different direction here. With Android, we have releases all the time of new operating systems that get released, Marshmallow, and et cetera, and they keep coming out, and they will hopefully keep coming out. When a new version of Android is coming out, either if it's developer preview or it's just being released, how does that get into Xamarin? So if I'm using Xamarin, I can actually use those new APIs. What's that look like?
Right. So we have a team of engineers that every time there's a preview of a new Android release, we download it and start creating bindings right away. We have tools for generating the bindings, and then typically it's a process of going along behind the generated bindings and saying, this is not quite how you would expect the C# API to look like. So we go through and we refine it and we polish it, bring in async, and APIs that need to be asyncified. Or if developers would expect a more of a delegate model for raising events or whatever, then, we go and try to bring in the C# behaviors that we would think our developers would expect to see on top of that.
Okay.
What's really neat is Xamarin was, of course, a proprietary solution for the past 5+ years. But with Microsoft's acquisition of Xamarin, they open sourced everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watched it all in GitHub, you could actually see this whole binding process, take place in public, as we've moved into this more open source model. We're not just dumping these out there. We encourage the community to come participate.
So if I find a bug in a particular implementation of a UI widget that maybe something was missed, and I find that bug, and I create a pull request back to the project?
Yes, please do. Yeah. Oh. So we would love to have those. I think it's nice to be in a situation where we have a community that's anxious to have this kind of help. And if Google drops a new preview of the next version of Android, and there is an API that you're really anxious to try, we'll come jump in. We're there to help tell you how to how to take advantage of that API and start binding it and get involved with the community.
So that's excellent to hear, especially since it's open source now, that you can actually hop in and contribute back to this project that so many folks are using. So just to be clear, if we do have that new version of Android that comes out and it does have a new UI widget, that's your team of engineers are going to hop in there and basically create that binding so you can expose it inside of Xamarin, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that's our priority, to make sure it's not only exposed, but that it's a beautiful looking API that developers want to use. You're absolutely free to, go bind it yourself, maybe not contribute it back if you think, we're going to do it anyways, and you want a quick and dirty hack to be able to try something out.
Yeah.
You can do that as well.
What's the average turnaround time that you guys usually have when a new release is pushed out before it's kind of available to the public?
That's a good question. So we have an excellent track record with iOS of tracking these things very closely. Android, we've gotten much better. So we haven't, with iOS, I don't think we've ever, when iOS gives a nice long lead time, where in the summer at WWDC, you start seeing previews that we can start tracking with our own previews. And by the time they get close to GM, we have everything bound and most of the kinks worked out, and people can start submitting apps to the App Store before the iOS release.
Oh, wow. Okay.
On the Android side, we've historically lagged more behind just because of the adoption curve of new versions of Android. It hasn't been as pressing that we track that as closely. We've never gotten really publicly dinged for not tracking as closely as well. But the nice thing is that as we've gotten more developers on board, we've had more customers and ISVs that even Google cares about. So they have a vested interest in seeing us able to support those new APIs soon as well, because they want to push adoption of new versions. So I don't think we're quite the same day yet, but I think we're in a position to be close. And
would you say it's within a month or 2 months? Or I mean,
I was shying away from that because I don't remember what the exact period was on the latest release. I know that we got, I would say a year ago, I think we were close to within days, and then we might.
That's amazing though, right there. I mean, days is, I personally, I don't have a problem when a company is, especially when you're creating this bridge between these two different languages and these platforms. A couple of days to me, like, okay, yeah. I can't wait. If I'm a C# developer, and I used to be on many C# teams, and I need to support the new version of Android, okay, I can probably wait a couple of days afterwards. Again, I know there's other people that feel differently, but for me, I don't see why it's a humongous problem. But the fact that you guys are trying to push forward is great.
Yeah. And you know, with a community there and that being a priority and people that care about native, I mean, it certainly pushes it forward.
You mentioned a second something about called Xamarin Forms. And yesterday here at the Microsoft event, which we're in the Microsoft offices in New York City, at the Connect event, they were out there saying that they had the shared libraries, like we talked about earlier. And then they had used Xamarin Forms to build this application out, basically allowing for over 90, 95%, and they were just round numbers, of code sharing between the platforms. What is Xamarin Forms? And if I'm a Xamarin developer, why should I care about it?
Right. So, you know, so from day one, we kept telling developers that you should be creating native experiences. And lots of times businesses would be coming back to developers saying, we really want you to just write it once, mm-hmm. right? So Xamarin Forms is basically a library. At the end of the day, it's a library that we created to fit that need of giving developers the ability to do write once, run anywhere with Xamarin
okay.
when they needed to, without necessarily giving away or giving up completely on the ability to do native things. So Xamarin Forms is an abstraction that gives you layouts and controls, a toolkit for writing cross-platform apps, and you can share up to 100% of code. And depending on the kind of app you want.
Between platforms, iOS and Android.
iOS, Android, and Windows UWP.
Oh, wow.
So the trade-off is just less control over exactly how it gets rendered, but it is still an abstraction, so it's still native rendering. So you make a native, you make a Xamarin Forms app, you define a layout, and then Xamarin Forms decides, how to use a native button and use a native text box, and so you end up with native look and feel that maybe you don't quite have the like I said, the complete control to say this is the native behavior I expected. But what you do have, what Xamarin Forms is designed was to keep those native capabilities at arm's length. So with the first release of Xamarin Forms, we had this idea of custom renderer. So as soon as you realize, oh, I need this screen to be native, mm-hmm. well, we're going to give you the ability to put a native screen in there. And what you saw James demonstrate on stage yesterday was where we've made native embedding even easier. So instead of figure out what a custom renderer is or how I should go about writing one, which is probably, creating a new class and extending something or whatever, the native embedding, let me just take a step back real quick.
Yeah.
Xamarin Forms layout is done in XAML. So that's another XML format separate of iOS storyboards or Android XML. Typically if you're doing your UI in Xamarin Forms, you can write it in C#, but you can also do it declaratively in XAML. And what James showed was, in his example, he took an iOS segmented control. So that's the control I want. That's iOS specific, but I want it in the middle of the Xamarin Forms page. So in the XAML, he just was able to start a new tag that says, give me the iOS segmented control right here. And on Android, that's nothing. That's ignored. It doesn't exist, but on iOS, it's going to render that control.
Is there a way inside of XAML that I can say, maybe I've built a nice little custom UI widget for Android and for iOS that has certain behavior for our particular business needs? Is there a way in XAML to say, hey, if we're running Android, show this one, and if we're running iOS, show this one?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what the custom renderer is.
Okay.
Right. So so with the custom renderer, you tell Xamarin Forms at the shared code level, I'm going to need my custom pie chart, right? I've written a custom pie chart that renders in the way my business wants it. And on iOS, that is... that is rendered in one way, and on Android it's rendered in another. And in the shared code level, all you know is that give me the thing that on this platform is the pie chart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Xamarin Forms itself works under the cover. We just give you a lot of a lot of renders,
just a lot of abstractions
packaged in. Okay. Yeah. But the community out there has created many custom controls of their own, and that's how you go about doing that.
Okay. So that, you know, to bring it for the listeners from, you know, top to bottom, if this really gives us, if we start at the bottom, actually, it's, we have the shared libraries. We talk to our API, we have our authentication that's shared across iOS and Android, you know, business logic. It's one place that's shared and so forth. And then from there, we can kind of, now we've introduced this new layer, which is the Xamarin Forms, which allows us to write basically our UI once, right? To display it on various different platforms. And then on top of that, we have our independent platforms themselves, Android and iOS. And that kind of almost reduces that layer to a much thinner surface area. Would you agree?
Right. That's the objective.
Basically, I mean, I have very little Android specific code, and I have very little iOS specific code, and the rest of it is basically shared.
Right. Yeah. And again, I mean, you know, we're developers, and we recognize, you know, the productivity benefits that the developers want to get from sharing code, and what the business, you know, wants to see by telling us to share code. So with Xamarin Forms, we want to make that possible. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like recognizing that you might put the app in the hands of users and they're like, this is not the behavior I was expecting. You know, when I'm running my other Android apps, they do the right thing. Why can't you do this? And we don't want the developers to be stuck with an abstraction where like, well, that's just what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And instead to be able to give the developers the power to always come back and put some native polish on it,
So that means
a floating action button, or
exactly. So that means on Android, this is a big thing. If I want to implement the material design guidelines, I can then implement the material design guidelines, maybe with some custom renderers or whatever of that nature. So on Android, I have that full, nice, fluid motion, ripple effects, all that kind of stuff. And then for iOS, I can have I'm not an iOS developer, so I don't know the exact terms over there, but I can implement everything iOS style over there as well.
Correct. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah, that's the power we want to put in developers' hands.
Excellent. Which kind of, you know, brings up the point that Kaushik really wanted me to ask this question is can you build really complex apps with Xamarin, or are you shoehorned into just creating simple applications that are, you know, forms over data?
Yeah, right. So I think that that is the leading question for Xamarin Forms, and sometimes developers come at this and they only try the Xamarin Forms approach, and Xamarin Forms has the same name as Xamarin. So I do think it's nice to be able to speak specifically to this topic to you and your listeners.
Yeah.
Because that's a perception that might be true with Xamarin Forms. Like, it's good for forms over data apps, and it has, it's powerful for other things as well, and it's good for prototyping, but it's not the right solution for everything. But with Xamarin itself, I mean, the functionality is it's better than just toy. I mean, like, we not only want you to be able to build any kind of app you want, but we want your apps to be better because you were able to be more productive with C#
mm-hmm.
and Visual Studio, and share that code in more places so you can spend more time doing new features rather than implementing the same feature twice. And I mean, it's powerful. It's performant. C# powers a lot of games. It's big in VR and AR. And all of that functionality being able to be back in the hands of app developers, that power, it's much more than just toy app.
So if I wanted to, for example, I just recently got done with a client project the last couple of months building a fitness application. And that fitness application played audio classes through actually Google released a audio player called Exo Player, which is a very configurable audio player for Android. And we needed that because we needed to control buffering and all this kind of different stuff. Based on what we talked about before, I can still use that library for Android. And then with Xamarin, I can still connect to that library and do the audio playback and everything. Correct?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And you know, the situation you're then in is finding that equivalent library over on the iOS side.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have that functionality over there, if you're going to deliver an app there.
But I can build those, like those media playback applications. And I'm not just limited, like we said, to the forms. It says Xamarin Forms, but I'm not just shoehorned into like, well, here's these X amount of controls. I actually have those. And then if I actually want to hop into fine grain Android, I can go back to the fine grain Android stuff and do that too.
Exactly.
Okay. What companies are using Xamarin right now? Like, what apps maybe we know about, or what companies would be familiar with?
Right. So, I mean, two of my favorite examples lately are, Alaska Air, several airlines. I think it's popular with I mean, a lot of businesses are going mobile. So a lot of the stories I keep hearing about are from like shipping companies putting devices in the hands of field workers, field mm-hmm. engineers. One of my favorite stories recently has been Outback Steakhouse, though.
Okay.
If you look at the Outback Steakhouse app, that they've written an app in Xamarin that is it's a 5-star app. And what's great about it is
they deliver steaks right now.
We can have them. what the app does that's great is, I mean, like every restaurant has an app these days. It's kind of like a web page. You got to put some information on a page so people know where to call to make reservations and get directions and see the menu. But what Outback did is they looked at, well, hey, you have this device in your hand, and how can we provide a better experience to customers through the fact that everybody has a mobile app? And the app's reviewed very well, not only because it's native and provides a pleasant experience, but it lets you do cool things like you can just pay directly from your phone. So you're not waiting for the server.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, that's kind of transformative to business. And, those are the things that make being in this space now with native app development, a fun place to be.
I know for a fact when I work with a lot of startups and I get courted from a lot of startups, they ask me a question. And this question is, should we use Xamarin? Should we use Xamarin or PhoneGap or React Native? To be honest, I don't have any experience with PhoneGap or React Native other than just kind of perusing the documentation. I've actually built apps with Xamarin, so I can speak to it. But that's the question I get asked a lot of the times. And I know that you're going to be biased with the question, but what is your response to that when a company does come to you? Do you have like a set of parameters that you're like, well, in this case, you probably want to go native, or in this case, you want to go Xamarin, or is it always Xamarin, or what's your thought on that?
Yeah, no, I'm incredibly biased, but let me at least give you the justifications for being biased. If I'm being asked to compare to those other solutions you mentioned, like, Cordova, mm-hmm. PhoneGap, mm-hmm. React Native, all of those fall into a class of APIs that, closer, frankly, to at best the Xamarin Forms experience, right? It's in the world today, you've been given a limited set of APIs that are available to build apps in a React way, and React Native offers a nice way to build apps. And if you like JavaScript, I mean, it's popular for a reason. It lets you do some cool things, and it also makes for great demos. I'm biased towards C# because I think it's a more powerful language. But at the end of the day, despite the name, React Native is not this 100% mapping of native APIs that Xamarin gives you. So Xamarin is,
fully 100% mapping the API landscape.
Right. Yeah. So that you're never caught in an abstraction where,
I need that and I can't get to it.
Yeah. Now, the other place where we're typically competing for, where people are deciding is, okay, well, I mean, it's only two platforms. I don't like writing it in two different code bases, but it is only Objective-C or Swift and Java. Maybe I'm being compared to that, right? So we've decided we need a native experience. And the question is, can we share code or do we even care about it? And what's interesting is lots of times people will end up with an iOS specific app or a Java specific app because that was the requirement of the time. Oh, we're buying iPads and I know I'm writing an iOS app. So I'm just going to use Objective-C or I'm just going to use Swift because like it's the iPad today. But then, 6 months later, you're done with the iPad app and everybody's pleased with it and you have a new app and it's Android. Or it's Android and iOS. And so suddenly it is cross-platform and you're, I wish I could use some of that code that I had before, especially if it's things like, oh, I just wrote authentication for that app on the iPad. And now I'm going to be writing authentication and all these web service calls and
offline
data synchronization. And it's a totally different app, except that it's not because it's still the same models. And I'm still using the same business objects that I was using in that other app.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily a cross-platform developer because I'm not writing a single app cross-platform, but over the course of a year, I am a cross-platform developer because I keep having to write for this platform, then that platform, mm-hmm. and then I'm bringing it back to the web. And, it's when you're in that mode, when you're writing apps that you realize that cross-platform is more than just trying to write one app for multiple platforms.
Let's say that I you know, after hearing this interview, I go take a look at Xamarin. I'm an engineering manager, whatever. I go in there, I was like, all right, you know, this looks like something that's interesting to me or my team, and I want us to take it. I want to take us there. We already have an existing Android application. How do we go from having that current native Java Android app to Xamarin? Is there any help getting into Xamarin from that?
Well, I mean, there is help, and there's also just the fact that Java is kind of approachable. And hopefully by now you kind of understand the structure of the of Xamarin,
yeah,
compared to Android with Java is a lot of similarities beyond just the language. You're using that same Android XML. A lot of it depends on the size and complexity of the app you have and what you want to, what your objective is when you get to the other side. And it probably needs to be decided on a case by case basis. But, you know, at a minimum, you should enter it thinking, oh, I could file new app, copy over my Android XML resources, everything that, you know, everything that's not the code, I could copy that into my Android, my new Android, Xamarin Android project. And, expect to be able to leverage that. That's not being rewritten. And then I could take Java and I could copy that. And, you know, it would be perhaps a little tedious. I'm sure you can find lots of tools out there that'll convert Java to C#. So you could convert the code. And then lastly, you know, we get back to that story about bindings and being able to leverage native libraries. You could just take the Java you've already written, keep that compiled as a jar, save that porting for later, make sure you're even committed to moving over. And, you know, add some Xamarin, you know, functionality and use those two things.
Just kind of see if it works, kind of kick the tires a little bit.
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right. That makes sense. And I mean, that seems like a very viable approach, especially if I can compile it, at least the non-Android stuff down into a jar to reuse it. That would, I think, save a lot of pain and apprehension that some folks might have about transitioning over if they have a larger existing project.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now here's the million-dollar question. If I'm developing for Xamarin, it's C#. Let's be honest. Everybody thinks C#. Everyone thinks Windows. Do I have to go buy a Windows machine to do this, or where can I develop this, or what do I need?
Well, that is a great question. So you need if you're going to develop Android, you can do it on Windows or Mac today. We have the full tool chain now, open source. You could even, you know, with a lot less of the IDE conveniences,
okay,
you could even do a lot of it on Linux if that's what you want to do.
Oh wow, okay.
But from our tooling perspective, you know, if you're on Mac or Windows, it's not going to be that different. We have, you know, Visual Studio on Windows, of course, and then yesterday we announced Visual Studio for Mac, which is taking you know, what was previously Xamarin Studio, which was a very mobile specific IDE,
mm-hmm,
that's very Visual Studio like, and beginning to bring Visual Studio functionality into it, so that you're not just writing mobile apps, but you're also writing you're able to write your ASP.NET Core backends inside the same IDE and share that code.
That'll run on Unix-based systems now too, with the announcements that were made yesterday that .NET will run on those Unix-based
systems.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you can deploy, you know, you can deploy your backends to Linux.
Okay, cool.
Doesn't matter.
And so the last real question I have here, are there any real gotchas about Xamarin that we don't know about? Is there anything that we should be aware of when we're getting into Xamarin as developers?
Well, way to end it on a happy note. No, I mean, it's... you know, I think that, you know, the kinds of challenges that I see people hitting, you know, today, frankly, are that they're very different than what they were a few years ago. I mean, we used to get dinged on the size of the runtime, but now apps are so big,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, the mono runtime adds, you know, a couple of megs. It's smaller than most of your
other
assets.
That's a good question. How much does it add? Is it just a couple of megs?
Well, it starts at about, it used to be 4 megs. I think we're under that. We're constantly trying to trim that down. And then we use a linker to, you know, you bring in portions of .NET libraries you're using, and we link away the portions you're not. So, you know, we give you the minimal amount of Xamarin and Xamarin libraries that you need to support your app. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's adding some size on, and I think that, you know, people still look at that. So you have to be aware that that's coming in there. You know, I think that...
Just to interject your sizing comment there,
yeah.
A lot of folks listen to this and they worry about this on Fragmented. They worry about the size of their Android application. They worry about how many methods that they have. And it turns into a big, like, almost like religious war inside of Android itself. Personally, I am very pragmatic about the situation. And if I can gain a ton of productivity by using a different tool, be it Xamarin, whatever, and it's going to cost me a few megs. And this happens too with Realm, which I think Realm recently came out with support for Xamarin as well. And Realm adds, you know, megs on my APK. At the end of the day, I don't care because it's allowing me to ship my app faster, much more productive. So a couple of megs are really not that big of a deal. And I think people really need to recognize that when they're building something in, not focus on these minute details and tear something apart because, oh, it's adding a couple of megs, you know?
There's something we refer to as the power of defaults. You know, we give you defaults that make things work, that can always be tuned later, right?
Yeah.
So you can choose the ARM, processors you're targeting that you want to have, compiled and support for API levels. I think I pretty much agree with you that, you know, on the runtime side, I don't think you should sweat it. And then the challenges of large Android apps are something that hits everybody regardless of if you're using that framework. And we're all learning together what the strategies are to reduce that for late loading and, we all share in those and figuring that stuff out together. I would hope, if you're pragmatic and I think you should be, this is not something you should be sweating.
If folks want to get started with Xamarin, where should they go to get started with it? How do they learn more about it? Where do they go to download it? What's that look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's of course, xamarin.com/download. You can get, Visual Studio or IDE Xamarin Studio on Mac directly from there. We have a developer portal, developer.xamarin.com, with tons of great documentation. Very, very proud of the work we put into the documentation there. We have Xamarin University, and Xamarin University was, prior to acquisition, a fairly expensive service to provide a lot of great instruction for learning Xamarin development and mobile development in general with Xamarin. And that continues to exist, and it's still a great product. But one thing we've been doing in the past months is turning some of that content into self-guided learning. So that's a really great place to start. You can learn a lot about mobile development with C#, and just getting started with Xamarin, by checking out Xamarin University as well.
Excellent. I think it's important to note to the listeners too. We are a very heavily focused Android podcast. We're all Java developers here. The thing that I wanted to make a note of is that I have been part of a company in Minnesota for years, and it's a gaming company. And we recently went through a big rewrite. Everything was actually all native, was Objective-C, it was Android Java. And we actually rewrote everything in Xamarin. And so I don't think folks should dismiss this because it's a Microsoft product. I think it's a very viable product. It's one that I have used previous all the way back to when it was just called Monotouch. It saved me a lot of time in developing applications like that. And if folks are having problems building applications or doing cross-platform stuff, running into weird platform bugs over here, but not over here. We're going to run into those bugs regardless, but if you're running into business logic issues and so forth, Xamarin and the forums and everything, it's definitely worth taking a look at. So this is from my own personal experience. So it's been fantastic. Is there anything that you'd like to share with the listeners here before we wrap up?
Well, I would just piggyback off the end of what you're saying there. We have a community that's been great and very passionate for the years we've been around. That's large and growing, has been growing at a healthy clip up until when Microsoft acquired us and made everything not only free but open source.
Mm-hmm.
That grew our community by multiples. So, it's a great time to get involved. There's lots of other people learning it at the same time. If people have always had concerns that there's this company with a commercial product and they're charging a lot for it and that could go away. Do I want to stake my business on this? And now it's such a big part of what we're doing with Visual Studio and of course on the Microsoft side with Azure, that's really brought down barriers for a lot of people to adopt it. It's been great for the community and we'd love to have, any developers that care about, C# being a great language aside, cross-platform challenges we're all facing. I think we have a good approach for it.
If folks want to get a hold of you through Twitter, what's the best way to do that? Are you on Twitter?
I am Twitter. I am on Twitter. I am Twitter. I am Joseph Hill on Twitter, all one word. And, you can also email me. I'm jhill@microsoft.com. But yeah, I love I love Twitter. Have a lot of fun there.
Okay, great. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. This has been super informative. This has actually been a requested topic quite a few times over the last year. A lot of folks want to hear about cross-platform development, Xamarin, what we think about it. This has been a phenomenal, like really good, like deep dive into what Xamarin is and so forth. I can't say thanks enough. I know if Kaushik was here, he would say the same thing. Thank you for coming on the show, Joseph.
I appreciate that. And, you know, I hope your audience enjoys this. And if they do, we got lots of great people in the community you should have on your show and in the future.
Thanks, Joseph.
Yeah, thanks.
That's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit all of the Fragmented episodes ourselves. The amazing Sarah from Spec helps us with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme music and ad music is produced by the cool cat, Alan Taylor. You can find more episodes of the show on Pocket Casts, Google Play Music, or any of the other great podcast players in town. Our website is fragmentedpodcast.com, and you can find the links to all the stuff we say on our website. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.